My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I have the most amazing guest, Cleo Lacey. She is known as Demi Couture Stylist on Instagram, is a personal stylist, a personal shopper extraordinaire, the most in-demand woman in the industry, but she is just so much more than that. The reason I resonate with her incredibly is that she is so passionate about empowering the women that she works with. Whether you follow her, whether you book in with her, whether you work with her, she is incredible. And I think you're going to really resonate with her story. So for anyone who maybe feels a little bit lost right now, maybe you've had slight circumstances that have changed in your life. Maybe you've been in the pandemic and you've had to deal with a different situation and you're coming out and you're looking for that reboot and that confidence hit again. This episode is going to be for you. She is wonderful. Welcome to the podcast, Cleo. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm so honored to have you on this podcast today. I started following you actually just after you got engaged. Is that a year? Maybe. No, it's over a year now, isn't it?
It will be April. April this year, it will be a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so not yet a year.
Yeah. And I just became obsessed with Cleo. I mean, for those of you who don't follow her, you will be by the end of this. Your energy is infectious. And I'd really love for anyone who doesn't know you just to give a brief introduction about what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my kind of job is I suppose a personal shopper and stylist, but it's a lot more than that. So generally, first port of call is a wardrobe consultation, really getting to grips with whether the lady or the gentleman in particular, where they're struggling with in terms of clothes, confidence, self-esteem. It might be that their life has changed slightly in a different direction, or lifestyle with work, marriage, family, children, age, menopause, whatever it may be. We sit down, we go through the nitty gritty of their lives, go through their wardrobes, find out why they've got all these clothes but still don't have anything to wear, find those missing pieces, and then followed by personal shopping, which is probably 80% of what I do. But it's not just shopping, it's not just clothes. It is all about empowering that person with confidence and self-esteem, showing them how just dressing for their body shape, for their personality, for their lifestyle will enhance their life in so many ways, not just how they look, because it's intrinsic. We all know that when we look in the mirror and we feel like shit and look like shit, it's just the two combined. So when you have more confidence with what you're wearing and you feel good when you're going out, it reflects on who you are as a person.
Oh, I love that so much. And I think as well, since I even started following you, you are truly that person as well. You are truly authentic in that message, and it really, really shines through. I'd love to know kind of anybody who's listened to that and it's instantly rung something with them, like they're lacking in a bit of confidence, you know, they feel that internally. What do you say to someone who maybe you've met them for the first time and you're going through like a wardrobe consultation? How do you navigate that? Because I can imagine that can be quite difficult.
I think one of the key things you have to be good at to do my job is to be able to read people and feel that empathy that person may be going through. And then you know how to guide them. Some people I push because I can see that it's in them and they want to be there. Other people, I know that I've got to take them in baby steps. So you've really got to, everybody is very individual. It's all bespoke. And you've really got to be able to read that person and how they're responding to you, the situation. Some people find the whole process quite emotional. Some people are naturally hoarders and their wardrobe is full of memories. And, you know, they've still got their dress from their 21st birthday party or the first date night that they had with their husband. So with women, it's a much more emotional journey. With men, it's more straightforward. It's, does it do a job? It's got to be, you know, I need to tell them the reasons why they need to buy it. And then they're like, right, that's fine. Okay. It's got to be more practical. There's not emotion involved with clothes and shopping with men. Yeah, obviously the odd one, but with women, it's just a completely different journey. So you've got to read that. And a lot of my clients are mums, and they are in a totally different ballpark as well, because having a child can affect your confidence and self-esteem hugely. You know, your body shape does change, and you kind of feel like you were this person before a baby, and after a baby you kind of lose that. You know, you just feel like you're a little bit lost, and you actually don't know who you are anymore. Your wardrobe's got to be practical, because you're on the floor, you know, you've got to be in your leggings crawling around after the baby. But equally, you still want to feel sexy, and you still want to, you know, feel like the woman that your husband married all those years ago. And so it's just working with the individual, I'd say.
And I really love that as well, and that you're really taking into account life, and there's the real realism behind it. Because I know sometimes you can look at some personal stylists and it can almost be quite intimidating. It has to be like really pulled looks, like constantly. I think what I love about your style is it's really classic, but it's really elevated and elegant. But also it's really easy to kind of like pull together, and you're kind of making that transition for people that you can look great in 5 minutes, and I'm going to show you how to do that every day.
Absolutely. My ethos is all about quality over quantity. I've never, since being, you know, in my teens and early 20s, where all my friends would be going into Topshop and Miss Selfridge and New Look and, you know, Primark and coming out with bags full of clothes, I was the opposite. I would save my money and buy one nice thing because I felt better in it. I looked better in it. And I've still got those items in my wardrobe, you know, the bags or the shoes or the jackets now, because I personally believe building a wardrobe should be on a foundation of really good pieces. And by all means, inject the high street into it every single season with the latest looks and a few trends to keep you stylish and up to date. But the core basics of your wardrobe that make your outfits work, that pull everything together, need to be good quality. And for me, as long as you've got those, you can create loads of different outfits and loads of different looks.
I was actually just going to ask you about when you were younger and kind of how you got to where you are. Because Cleo is this really lovely, confident woman, but she's hilarious as well, which I love. I love her story. Like, honestly, she cracks me up. But I just would love to know, like, how have you got to where you are? Have you always been this way?
I think I grew up with, my dad was self-employed. My dad was a builder. And his whole ethos on life, he was a very larger than life man with the most incredible personality that you could have ever. He literally lit up a room. He was phenomenal. And he taught me that the most important thing in life is to love your job. And it doesn't matter what you do, but you have to have that love when you get in the morning. He was so passionate about what he did. And I looked at my dad and I thought, oh my God, you know, that's how I want to feel. And my mum, bless her, she was very much a traditional stay-at-home wife. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But that just wasn't for me. I wanted that independence. I didn't want to have to ask a man for a handbag or for, you know, to put money in my car. For me, I love earning money and being completely independent and being able to do what I want. So I think the input of my dad wanting me to get a job that I was purely going to really enjoy and love. And then also seeing sort of my mum not really want that lifestyle, just wasn't personally for me. I think it just drove me to always work. I've always been a grafter, So age of 14, I was working in the pub, waitressing. I'd be babysitting every Friday and Saturday night. So whenever my friends were going out, I've always been a grafter and I've always earned my own money so that I could buy my first car and I could buy nice things. I've always been a magpie. I've always been attracted to beautiful stuff, whether it's jewelry or handbags, but I know I've got to work hard to buy myself those. So I've always had this ethos of working really hard, but it wasn't until my late 20s when I found the confidence to do it alone. And it was only really, again, my dad saying to me, just go for it. And I'm very much, I do take risks because I think you never progress in life unless you do. If you stay in the same place, you're only going to ever be in that same place. So for me, I was like, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set up by myself. This was 11 years ago, middle of the recession. There's lots of people that do what I do. There weren't then. There wasn't social media. There wasn't Instagram.
Yeah.
But I knew I had this passion and this drive and ambition, and I loved it. And I think if you possess those core qualities in whatever you do, you can't fail. Yes, it may take a bit longer to get to where you want to be, but if you've got that focus, that drive, that love and that passion that gets you up every day, looking forward to going to work, how can you go wrong? You can't.
Oh my goodness, that's like the perfect soundbite for this. You're so right. I'd love to know about the journey then, because obviously building a business, I mean, I've been self-employed now for around 7 years. So social media was around, but not in the way that it is now even. So before it even existed, how did you go about that?
It was hard, I'm not going to lie. The first sort of 4 years of trading was bloody difficult because it was all word of mouth. It was all, you know, it was, someone would have me and then they'd be like, they'd go to the pub and they'd be like, oh my God, you look really good. What's happened? And they'd be like, oh, there's this girl called Cleo. But of course, that's probably only 10% of my clients, because 90%, I'm a secret. You know, I don't tell anybody about my clients. It's completely and utterly confidential. But there's those of clients that do shout about you from the rooftops, which is incredible. And they're the ones that get you, obviously, your clients. But at the beginning, that was really, really tough and really hard. But I don't give up. I'm like, go, go, go. And there's many a time that I thought, oh my God, I need to go and get a job because I've got to, you know, I need to bring more income in. But I think keep going. Don't give up.
Definitely. So fast forward to now, obviously I see you everywhere. She goes everywhere. She's like, today I'm in London, today I'm in Yorkshire.
Yeah, that's what I do in my life.
I'm like, how does she do this? I don't know. Like, I'm tired from like one day in central London. I'm like, right, I need to rest. But I want to know, like, how do you do this? Like, from a mindset piece and like managing, you know, for you, like you are so hardworking. And there must be times, like, have you ever suffered from like overwhelm or even maybe burnout?
Yeah. Oh God, 100%. I don't think I've had burnout yet. I think for me, the key is I'm an early bird. So I am at my most active and my brain is at its best at 5-6 a.m. in the morning, which is when my body naturally wakes up. And that's when I'm firing on all cylinders and the ideas are coming in and I'm responding to emails. By 6 o'clock at night, I am dead. So what I try and do now, I realize, is I could try and go to bed at like 8 o'clock to fall asleep about 9, 10. And as long as I have an early night and I get to bed, I can then function and get done what I need to the next day. My main problem was, is I'm a social person as well. So I love to go out. So I can't work the hours I do and have a really excellent social life. So over the past sort of year or so, my poor friends have probably dwindled because, you know, I can't go out for dinner in an evening and then be up at God knows and driving to wherever. So I think you've got to find the balance. I think you've got to have a good supportive network around you that realize that of course you're still their friend and you still love them, but she's just busy. So let's just support her in that. And if I have to cancel because I'm absolutely knackered, it's fine. So having a really good support network of friends around you, and obviously Jack, who I can't not mention because he's just phenomenal, super supportive. I mean, in a way, really doesn't give a shit what I do or where I am. You know, I can used to be like, oh, where are you off to today? And I'd be like, oh, Timbuktu fucking two. And he'd be like, right, sorry, I shouldn't swear. And, you know.
No, you can, it's fine.
Have a nice day. But having that someone that is super chilled, laid back and easygoing makes my life easier. It really does.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's funny you bring up Jack, actually. I wanted to talk about that. I just love so Cleo's ethos as well is really about not settling in life at all for anything, whether it's like personal life or professional. And I'd really love you to kind of talk about that mentality more, because I think that is just so important.
I don't know where it came from. It's just, I think there's just this thing in me that strives for more all the time. Nothing is ever good enough, but for me, I'm always, you know, when all my friends, a lot of my friends when I was younger, they got married very young and they had children, and I was like, why would you settle down with someone that you're not genuinely happy with? I don't get it. Why would you want to spend the rest of your life with someone that actually you don't really like, or they drive you insane, or you haven't got that happiness inside you? And I've always been, you know, I've been very much a bit of a thrill, not a thrill seeker, but I've, you know, might have dated a few guys because I was just looking for someone that made me feel alive and completely happy, because he's the guy I want to spend the rest of my life with. But I also think you've got to be on the same page. You know, I've been in lovely, happy relationships, but they've just not been ready, you know, for the next step. So I think you've got to find someone equally that lights you on fire, that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel in your happy place, but also is on the same page of you wanting the same thing. And that's a very difficult thing to find. Well, I have, you know, it's taken me till nearly 40 to find that. And for me, it's something that brings me peace and calm, because my life is so busy and so hectic. Jack is he pulls me down. He's as into the ground. He's earthing for me. And, you know, sat on the sofa with him on a Sunday, my day off, with a bag of mini eggs, it's like heaven for me. Like, that is literally, that's, you know, that's what keeps me going. Yeah.
I love that story so much. And I think you're so right. I am also in my 30s, later 30s. And yeah, same thing, like not settled, like found somebody. And it's, and I'm from Yorkshire. So like everybody, well, not everyone, but a lot of people have kids at like early 20s, right? So to me, they're like, I don't get it, but it's the best thing. And, you know, finding somebody, and maybe when you're slightly, I don't want to use the word slightly older, but in your 30s, you know who you are more, right? You know what you want in life, and you know what you really don't want.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think it's so powerful.
You know, I want to spend the rest of my life being happy. That's ultimately what life is for. That's why we work how hard we do, and because we want to bring that happiness and joy into our lives. And I think it's not easy to find a partner that you feel that warmth and that lovely feeling inside. It feels natural, and it feels like it should do. And that's not easy, but do not settle ever, 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 whether it is professionally, personally. Always strive for what your heart truly wants.
Has there ever been a situation, I guess, in your professional life where you've had that difficult task? Maybe someone's listening thinking, oh, it's really hard for me to get away from this in work. Have you ever had to like go through something like that or manage it?
I think for me, it's just been growth. I've always worked. I did my degree in business and marketing, and I went to work within retail. Then I became a buyer, but it's always been fashion led. So predominantly a female industry, which I love women. Like, I absolutely love women, but ultimately not every woman is a girl's type of girl. And there are women out there that can be a bit bitchy and a bit two-faced. And I found that within work, it doesn't sit right with me. I hate it. It's just not me. So, you know, I've been in jobs before where it's more the atmosphere of a load of women that, you know, some of them don't get on, some of them do, some of them are lovely, some of them are horrible. And it's just, and I'm like, oh, and that's what made me want to go alone. And I'm so lucky in the fact that I think that it's true what they say, your vibe attracts your tribe. So genuinely, hands down, in 11 years, there's only been one client that I have refused to work with again. Because when I sit down on that questionnaire, I'm like, oh my God, I love this woman. Like, genuinely, my clients are phenomenal. And my followers. I am so, so lucky. Yeah. Because I think I put it out there. I don't take any shit. You know, if someone isn't, you know, I'm like, bye, block. So, you know, just make sure the people that you surround yourself with are who you want to be, that lift you higher and that make you feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't bring a name up, but we know the incident you're talking about. Blocked. See you later.
Tight and tatty.
I didn't want to say it. what a horrible, horrible woman. Oh, when I saw that, everyone was like, share who she is.
Yeah. Oh, dear. You push me, and then I'm going to publicly expose you.
Yeah, but they can't get away with it. That behavior, no, like, exactly. It's not okay. You wouldn't say that to somebody in the street. So don't think you can say it through a screen. Exactly. Titan Tati lives on. Thank you.
100%.
I always like to ask somebody when, you know, we can be now, like, you are very much a growth mindset person. Mm. So, you know, you're always looking for the next thing, always striving. Mm. What happens when you come up against things that maybe knock you a little bit? Like, what do you have? What are your coping mechanisms? Because I feel like you've really got it nailed, like what works for you and what doesn't. So I'd just love to know that.
So last year, I unfortunately got diagnosed with skin cancer, which obviously was a bit of a knock. I was very lucky in the fact that the day I found out, the following day, I was taking Jack away for 4 days to a beautiful hotel in Somerset. And it couldn't have obviously happened at the best time. And I literally just switched off. I told the people that were closest to me the situation, what was happening, and that I was just going to get my head down for a few days. And we went away and had a really magical time. The hotel was beautiful. And it was just what I needed to reset. And I kind of toyed with this idea. And I thought, you know, what's going to actually bring me strength is by telling people. And I'm not the type of martyr. And, you know, I don't like that type of attention. But I thought it's been great for raising an awareness, because people was like, oh, Claire's gone to get a moles checked. And, you know, hundreds of people went, which was amazing. I got hundreds of messages saying, I've been and got my moles checked. The awareness was brilliant. But then I also needed to let them know what was going to be happening. Because, you know, I did have to have a couple of operations and a bit of downtime. So I think for me, it's my coping mechanism would maybe to switch off a little bit, switch that phone off, because it literally does not stop. It, you know, my phone goes 24/7. And be with a person that, you know, Jack, like I've said, he grounds me. He is the yin to my yang. So to spend a few days with him in a beautiful place to switch off gave me the strength to come back on, tell the world what had happened. And actually their response and their love and support got me completely through it, didn't faze me. Mm. And, you know, bye. Done. Moving on. So I think for me, I just maybe need that little bit of quiet time, come back a bit stronger.
Definitely. And I think it's really poignant, especially with people who live, well, all over, I suppose, but especially in cities, you don't get that downtime and to prioritize that. You know, self-care is the basis for everything, for 100%. Our way that we compute our emotions and deal with any situation. So it's super important.
And it's the really simple little things, like just don't underestimate the of going for a simple pedicure for, you know, for an hour, what it will do to you'll feel so much better for it. It will lift your mood. Something so simple and, you know, that is probably 30-40 quid that will literally make you feel, you know, so much better. Just treat yourself to those little things, and I can't tell you the difference it will have on your mindset and how you feel.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's so important. Thank you so much for sharing that as well, and like being open and honest to share that. I really appreciate that. So,
you know me, always open and honest.
I do. Even though we've not met in real life yet, we will. I do feel like I know you. That's the thing that I think is really unique. It's amazing.
Yeah, everyone does say that, but I think it's because my job is a very personal thing. You know, I'm going into somebody's home.
Yeah.
I'm going through their wardrobe. I'm basically seeing them in their underwear.
Yeah.
And they've got to know that they can trust me, and they know that this person coming to their home is, you know, yes, I am brutal, and they're paying me to do a job, but equally, you know, I will give them a hug and a cuddle and be there for them. So that, you know, I want them to know that they're in safe hands, basically.
Talk me through like a day with you. So say a personal shop, because I'm always really, really intrigued. And she is brutal, by the way, because I see other stories, the bin liners of clothes that go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. But I'd just love to know like what someone could experience with a day with you.
So obviously get the wardrobe consultation out of the way. That's the painful part. Loads of people do love it because they feel they're very cleansed at the end of it. And they know that they've needed to get it done for a while. But then the fun part the best bit is obviously the personal shopping. So that happens in a city of their choice. As you well know, I work from like Harrogate, Leeds, down to London, Southampton, everywhere. Yep. So I cover literally the UK. I'm going to Ireland for a week in March that I've got clients booked throughout. So that's going to be amazing. So I literally shop everywhere. But it depends on the client's budget, where they're going. So let's say we're going to London for the day. And it might be that we're shopping in Harrods or Selfridges or just on Oxford Street doing the high street. And you've got a couple of options. You can either shop with me and there'll be me picking stuff out and we'll go into the fitting room, trying stuff on, showing you how to create outfits. Or I can book a private fitting room. That could be in somewhere like John Lewis, Harrods, Selfridges, anywhere, where I prep and bring it all to you. So it's just what the client prefers, really. A lot of clients enjoy the whole day with me. You know, they want to meet at 10 o'clock and have a coffee in the morning and then shop together. And then, you know, by about 1-2 o'clock, we're absolutely starving. So we'll go and have a lovely lunch and a glass of champagne. And, you know, it's a feeling, it's an experience, and it's instilling in them, you know, new brands, new colors, new styles, new patterns, new outfits. You know, they're going to come away with all these clothes that they're going to look and feel incredible in, that they're an investment in their wardrobe. It's not something that they're going to be getting rid of in a few months' time. It's core capsule key pieces that every man or woman needs in their wardrobe. And that sort of generally happens twice a year. I'll see them for spring, summer, autumn, winter. Sometimes I'll see them once a month. Sometimes I'll see them once every few years. It just depends on the client, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it sounds incredible from what I see on social media. I mean, I am going to book you, by the way. We'll work it out. No, because I'm like, it's just, it is, you're right, it's the experience. It's so much more than just the shop. And that's why I just thought you were so unique to get on the podcast, because there's so many levels to your work. So yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it is. And it's, a lot of my clients say it's like shopping with a friend. And that is a lovely, that is a compliment for me, that, you know, it's lovely, because it makes, it's obviously they're feeling relaxed, they're feeling comfortable, and, you know, they have, you know, there's never been a client that's had an unhappy day, thank God, touch wood, hence why they all return. And yeah, it's amazing. It's the best job in the world.
Oh my goodness, it sounds so incredible. I'd love to ask you, maybe this is a slightly selfish question, what would you say are like 5 backbone pieces that you need to have in your wardrobe?
So 100% a beautiful blazer, beautifully cut, but one that suits your body shape. So double-breasted, for instance, big trend, but not necessarily can be worn by everyone. If they're an apple shape and they carry the weight on the top half of the body, it's going to broaden them. So they want a single-breasted. But a beautifully cut, tailored blazer will take you from day to night. You can wear it with jeans. Just fantastic. That's your next piece, your jeans. A lot of women, like a smart casual wardrobe is the hardest wardrobe to achieve. And I'd say 99% of my clients live in jeans. So by investing in if you live in them, invest in them, I would say. You know, there's some great high street pieces, but if you can afford to spend that little bit more, it is definitely money well spent. I'd say beautiful knitwear, really good knitwear. Not this cheap shit that's got acrylic in it that looks crap after you've washed it twice, okay? We want nice quality that hangs well, that looks, again, great, which is with a pair of jeans and a pair of boots. So we've got knitwear, we've got a blazer. A beautiful coat, 100%. Your coat, your bags and your shoes are the most important part of your outfit. They're what finish you off. They're what make you look expensive or polished, or, you know, whatever look you're trying to achieve, those finishing pieces are the most expensive ones. They should be in your wardrobe. So beautiful coat that you throw on over your Primark, whatever, as long as you've got that key piece, I'd 100% say invest in a nice bag as well. I'm all about the accessories. So a nice bag would be a crucial thing for me as well. Obviously, dependent on your budget. If you're vegan, obviously, you're not going to do leather. But if you're not, 100% go for leather over plastic. And then probably, what would my final piece be? Maybe a classic white shirt that you could literally, you know, put on a pair of jeans, gorgeous belt, equally a pair of leather leggings. It's something very versatile, works for a lot of people. But again, you want something that works for your shape. So not too oversized if you're petite, because it will drown your figure and your frame. So yeah, classic white shirt, beautiful blazer, good knitwear, good jeans, nice bag.
Oh my goodness. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm going to share all of Cleo's details below. She also brings out is it monthly, your email, or like
bi-monthly? I try and do it monthly. Just depends on how busy I am with clients. But I try and do a monthly email that's got my, because obviously I can't see everybody. There is literally not enough days in the week as it is. Yeah. So for people that don't want to physically do a personal shop, but they're kind of interested in what my picks are of the season, you know, what I've been selling, what looks great on clients, I do like a monthly, and each one's got a different theme. So next month's going to be obviously all the new spring summer arrivals, which is always one of my favorite ones to do. So looking forward to that.
Amazing. And then anything you'd like to share that you've got coming up?
I've got a fantastic, unfortunately it's sold out, but I've diverse slightly, and I'm doing these ladies luxury lunches, and I'm going to be doing them at sort of all locations all over the UK. First one kicks off in Manchester in March, which I'm really looking forward to. Yay. And then we're going to do one in the Midlands, but we're going to open that to a few more places, then probably one in London as well towards the end of the year. So that's definitely something that's going to be happening this year. And then also, it was meant to be happening last year, but unfortunately I got let down, was my clothing range. So I want to produce my own clothing range of just key basics, you know, good tee, nice blazer, again, nice knitwear, things that we've spoken about, but a Cleo wear. Cleo approved, got the Cleo label on them. So that's something as well I'm striving to try and get done this year. Yeah.
That's huge as well. Take a moment to be really proud of yourself for that. When you first mentioned that, and I think you put a poll up, didn't you?
Oh my
God, would you be interested? I was like, never, never pressed it hard enough. I was like, yes, and now. Thank you, I'm ready.
I know, I'm just getting messaged weekly asking when it's coming out. And I'm like, oh God. So if anyone's listening to this and knows suppliers in the UK, message me. So yeah, I'm struggling a bit with that.
It's been really hard with COVID. I've got a friend who's got a clothing brand as well, and it's hard, very hard right now. Yeah. So thanks, COVID. Thanks for that. Yeah. And Brexit, perfect. Oh my goodness, Cleo, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I'm going to share all of Cleo's details in the show notes so you'll be able to follow her. But thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really enjoyed it. My first ever podcast, you popped my cherry.
Yeah. God. Sorry, Jack.
On that note.
Take care, Cleo.
Bye, darling.
Oh my goodness, I hope you enjoyed that as much as me. I could really talk to Cleo all day. Her laugh is infectious, isn't it? And I think the piece around empowerment and confidence and how everything starts on the inside is exactly what we promote on the Mindset and Me podcast. So you know what time it is. Time for our gorgeous mini meditation. Taking a moment today to just firstly acknowledge where you are. Begin to get really comfortable, really cozy. Give yourself a moment. Acknowledge where you are today. Where do I want to be today? Where am I holding on to any tension in the body? Maybe tension in the face, and I want you to draw in a nice deep breath. And as you exhale, just release, letting everything go. Acknowledging where you are today, and just let that go. There's no pressure. We release expectation to feel a certain way. We let that go. We allow ourselves to be present and still in this moment together. Draw in a nice deep breath, and I want you to try to consciously breathe into the belly. Breathing deeply, breathing slowly, acknowledging where you are. Acknowledging where you are today. trying to let go with your exhale. We want to slow down our thoughts. And as you breathe into your belly now, I want you to put both hands onto the belly, the solar plexus energy, our energy all around confidence, our inner feeling. Breathe. Believe in yourself today. And I want you to repeat this mantra. I am powerful. I am strong. I am here today. I am powerful. I am strong. I am here today. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to be here. As always, I am so grateful for every listen, every share. Thank you so much. And if you didn't enjoy it today, don't worry about it. Just leave it. You don't need to tell anyone. Thank you so much. And I will see you again next week.